Such a lovely sound, isn't it?
Let's go to that perpetual question about whether expensive wine tastes better than cheaper wine. And our resident wine expert and occasional guest host has a very pointed response, so I'm just going to put the question to him. Hello, Rick Cushman. Does expensive wine taste better than cheaper wine?
Beth, my friend, that's so the wrong question. And you know, that's the question that always gets asked. In fact, our Tuesday show, America's Test Kitchen, asked the very same question. The answer is yes, no, it depends. There's so many reasons why wine costs more and so many reasons why it's less, but that is so completely the wrong question.
Well, what I really want to talk about then is cost, but you're making me think maybe what I'm looking for is the issue of value.
Well, that's exactly right. And then value is a relative thing. Let's start with this point. This is what we're all after in the wine world. We're all after the cheapest wine we can get that we still really love.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really kind of it with everything, but most of everything else is sort of standard priced, and wine is up and down and all over the place. But that's what we're after. That's your holy grail. And if somebody likes that $2.99 Sauvignon Blanc at Trader Joe's, I have a friend who loves it. She's the luckiest person on the planet because she can buy a case for the same price as somebody might buy one bottle of wine. The problem is it's all relative. It's relative to what you like, how you drink it, even where you're drinking. If you're drinking that $2.99 bottle of wine in a field with friends, you're going to love it because it's a great experience. And
right.
If you're sitting at home on a dark night because you're ticked off at your boss, you're not going to like anything.
Well, to get to the root of this, we have to talk about the costs of making wine.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. And one of the, there's this thing, I mean, no other food stuff. We don't worry that we're paying too much for peas. I mean, not really. But there's something about wine that always makes us think we're getting punked, you know, and it's partly because there's so many kinds of wine. The price range is so huge. It just seems like this impenetrable world, but it sometimes it is.
Well, because it's a mystery to us,
right?
Too.
But in most cases, there are reasons why wine costs what it costs, at least to a certain point. And I'll just sort of take you through a few of them. You know, you think about the year, if it's a good year or a bad year. On a bad year, the yield was lower, which means that they had all the same expenses but got less product to sell. And in fact, when you're farming, deciding on the yield matters too, because some people might get 1.5 tons or 2 tons per acre. What that means is then there's more concentrated flavor, basically fewer grapes per vine, so more flavor for those grapes.
Yeah, lower yield can mean better quality.
Right.
Juice.
But, you know, on the other hand, that means you have fewer grapes to sell. If you're getting 10 tons an acre, you've got far more grapes to sell. So the wine necessarily doesn't have to be, but it could be cheaper. The price of land itself. In Napa, you can spend $350,000 to $400,000 an acre in the wrong place.
Wow.
You know, and so that explains part of it. And then you talk about how much farming goes into it, whether they're with the kind of trellising system, basically, you know, how they're set up on the wires and the vines, and whether they're hand-picked or machine-picked, whether when they are picked, they're sorted, which many expensive wines are. They take out the lesser grapes or the grapes that might have turned to raisins or other things, or even hang time, just how long the grape stays in the field, because if they stay in there longer, there's more farming involved and also more risk, you know. And then there's things like how they ferment it, what kind of tanks they use, what kind of processes they use before or after fermentation. And then there's the oak, you know, whether you use expensive barrels. French oak costs twice what American oak costs, which is, you know, it could be anything from $1,300 to $1,600 a barrel. That changes the nature of the oak. Some people like American oak, but I'm just saying that changes. But there's a good example right there of how it's relative. Some wineries use American oak because they think the flavor's better. And some wineries use French oak because they think the flavor's better, and there's everything in between. I mean, and it goes on and on, but you can see how it can be a very relative thing.
So I want to explore this math analysis class you have us in this morning.
There'll be a quiz at the end.
And that is that if we're trying to tie it to taste and the expense of the wine, are you saying, for example, the cost of sorting the grapes will add to the flavor at the finish line, the cost of the barrel adds to the flavor at the finish line? Is there a direct correlation on these costs and taste?
Yes, except there's always an exception.
Dang it.
So like we were just talking about
somewhere.
Right. Like we were just talking about the oak. I mean, obviously it depends what you like. So a French oak is a little less oaky. It's American oak maybe give more flavors of vanilla and French oak might be more herbal. And so, I mean, that's just one kind of reaction. So it, once again, that so depends on what you like. Sorting certainly does. You know, what you're doing is you're taking out raisins, you're taking out maybe extra grapes that weren't ripe, or even sometimes, you know, leaves. They call it MOG. Material other than grapes. Mm. It's just, see, we can't just say that. You have to have MOGs to make sure that people don't actually know what's going on. But, you know, and so all of those things changes the flavor. But the question is, does it change the flavor in a way that you like? And that's really a very personal thing. And but there are ways, there are things that we do know about cost. For example, we know that we are, human beings are very, we are affected by all kinds of cues. I mean, serious enjoyment, they, you know, do those functional MRIs where they hook up your brain and they show whether the pleasure center yes. lights up. And if you tell people, they've done this, where if you tell people that this is an expensive wine, their pleasure centers light up more than if you tell them it's a dirt cheap wine. And so just the expectation, same thing with a car, for gosh sakes, you know, if you tell them it's a $150,000 car, man, that rides well, even if it doesn't. And so some of it is knowing that it costs a lot can actually add to the enjoyment. You know, if it does, okay. You know, that's why blind tastings are always relative, because often you might at least know the category. There's so many other things going on.
That's a placebo effect kind of factor.
Yes.
I think another factor that does not have to do with the actual taste of wine is the marketing and the reputation, the money spent around the wine?
Well, that's absolutely true. And that's the, one of the things that, like I said, there comes a point, $50, $60. You know, I've had friends in Napa tell me that they can't sell their cab for less than nowadays. It's about $75 and nobody takes them seriously.
Oh.
So they can make it and sell it for $50 or $45, you know, but they wouldn't be taken as a serious winery with serious Cabernet. And so some of it is exactly that. And then the cult wines, you know, those wines that are over $100 or, you know, close to $200. And a lot of times that's simply because of scarcity. And also because if somebody's willing to pay that much, then you sell your wine for that much. There's another factor that goes into, I wanted to make sure we touch on, which is the consistency level. There are, you know, we call them supermarket wines, but there are other wines. Like Rombauer is a great example. La Crema is another, that are wines that are pretty consistent over the years and people know them, and they're not by any means inexpensive wines. Rombauer could be $30 a bottle for Chardonnay, but it comes out every year pretty much the same. That takes a certain kind of engineering, you know, and that is, it's both expensive and less expensive in some ways. Then the other direction is that the wine is very particular to the place in the year, and people love that too.
Right.
And that takes a different kind of winemaking, both of which, depending on the year, can be less or more expensive. And so, you know, once again, we've got this really relative thing on cost, whether it is something you're willing to pay for, or whether it's something that, you know, that whether that matters to you, whether the Rombauer flavor matters to you, you'll pay that $30 a bottle no matter what. And, you know, if you're that person that likes it to be a picture of the year, you'll pay that even if that year doesn't happen to be that expensive.
You are a proponent of just trying out
yes.
wines, learning, increasing your education and your knowledge. And it sounds that with this topic, that would really add to understanding about the wine you're buying and
yeah.
the price you're paying.
And one of the things that, I mean, this is, you've heard, we've been doing this now for a couple of years, and you heard me say this over and over, is like, don't be afraid of it.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid of the inexpensive stuff. Don't be afraid of the expensive stuff. Don't roll your nose it one way or the other, if you're capable of rolling your nose. you know, if you can afford an expensive bottle of wine, it might be worth trying. Make sure that it's, you know, that you like it, or that people like it, or it's well recommended, and you, it might be worth that price. But also, don't be afraid of the inexpensive wines. Some kinds of wines tend to come out better inexpensive. Whites can generally be produced for less than reds. You know, one of the jokes is, if you're in a crummy bar and you have to buy wine, and it's going to be cheap, get the white stuff, because the white can only be so bad.
And you can chill it really
right.
cold and
but that,
hide
that's exactly
a bit.
It. You know, and don't let price, the one thing I would seriously argue against is, don't buy it because it's expensive. Don't be bragging about it. If you're the person who brags about the expensive wine you have, frankly, we don't want to be your friend.
So the right question then, if the wrong question is...
The wrong question is it value? The right question is, there's no one, but it's like three. What kind of wine do you like? How much are you willing to spend? And, you know, how much of in essence, how much of your budget is a great wine worth to you?
Yeah.
But if you find something, but I'll go back to the original ones, it's really more like, how cheap can I drink and still really like it?
I think it's the limbo theme. How low can you go?
Yeah, it is. And once you get ego out of it, and we all brag about the fact that we got these great peaches for inexpensive, or
we do. And we don't brag that same way usually about wine.
I got this wine for $2.99.
That's true.
And it's a silly thing. And wine has this artificial status that goes, heck, you could argue it goes all the way back to the Greeks and Dionysus, who gave wine as a gift to bequeath to the world.
We need therapy, Rick, about wine.
We do.
We need therapy.
And you know how you start with the therapy? You pour yourself a glass of wine. And then
open your book, The Barefoot Spirit,
there
right?
You go.
All right. Always a pleasure. Great to have you in. And you'll
be
back in on Monday.
I'll be hosting on Monday. Yes.
Yeah, I've got to visit my mama for her birthday.
Well, say hi for us.
Thank you so much. That is Rick Cushman in our monthly installment of Cushman by the Bottle. More information on our website at capradio.org/insight. You are listening to Insight on Capital Public Radio.